thrilling game in the finish last night at the MCG in front of no fans. A 27-point deficit for Hawthorn. They kicked 11 goals to, or 7 of the last 11 goals, rather, to overrun Melbourne after quarter time. And it was Luke Bruce who was able to step up in the finish for the Hawks.
Hardigan on halfway, enters 50. Where's the mark? No mark taken. More front and centre. Oh, hand pass. Bruce. Oh, Bruce. Goal.
He's got it.
Scores on level. Salem, a dinky little kick. Marked by Hardigan. Oh. It's a draw. Luke Bruce goal with 42 seconds left on the clock has seen things tied up here at the MCG between the D's and the Hawks.
In his second game, the arrival of the number one pick, Jamara Ugal-Hagan. Waiting until round 17 to make his debut, he broke through yesterday with 3 goals to 4 marks inside 50. This is third.
Dale gets a kick into the right forward pocket. Going out, Jamara Ugal-Hagan. That's a strong mark. He'll look to play on quickly, tries to snap it around the body. It's curling back, it's through.
And in the afternoon time slot, a 13-point victory for Port Adelaide to shore up a place in the top four. They replace Brisbane. Charlie Dixon kicking the sealer.
Burton, 45 out, he kicks towards the forward pocket. Dixon after it, he gathers, he brushes Howard, and he'll kick the sealer!
Feels like we say this all the time whenever Melbourne's in lockdown, but the season very much is on a knife's edge at the moment. Every game really in the balance heading into next weekend. We've got 8 clubs affected by the latest outbreak in Victoria. We'll pull it all apart in a full Sunday of footy. There's 4 games on today. Our first match for broadcast, which you'll all be getting in about half an hour from now, it is Essendon and North Melbourne. In Victoria, it'll be Carlton and Collingwood. For everyone in WA and SA, you'll be getting the Crows and the Eagles. And then we're all back together a little later on for the Swans and the Giants. This is Grandstand AFL Sunday. Corbin Middlemass in our Melbourne studios alongside Brett Deledio, former Richmond GWS champion. G'day, Lids.
Hello, Corby. Good to be back, mate. It's not quite the same, is it? No crowds out there. Last night would have been, you can just imagine, yeah, everyone on the edge of their seats. Luke Bruce kicks that goal, but wasn't to be. You know, no real fanfare, was there? I know the TV probably turned it up a little bit. That's where I was watching from, but yeah, it's not quite the same.
I missed you at the footy last night.
Oh, no, mate. I got tested after we were at the MCG and thought I was, got down there nice and early, 9 o'clock test, think, all right, I'll have this back by the end of the day. Not until 9 o'clock last night. So, yes, a lot of hours in between. So I was stressing about not even coming here today, to be honest with you. I wasn't confident, but here we are, mate.
Dan Andrews stressed this morning, said 90% of tests return inside 24 hours. So all I can think of, Lids, is you're in the 10%.
Yep.
Had to wait over 24 hours for your test. But the good news is it's come back negative. And
That's it.
As Donald Trump would say, it's a positive negative. So as a result, you're here with us today. Lauren Arnell is very healthy, as always, up in Brisbane. G'day, Loz.
Hello, boys. Great to speak to you again, and happy Sunday. It's a little bit of a different atmosphere up in Brisbane. Still wearing masks up here, but geez, I can't tip a game of footy the last two or 3 weeks. It's been hopeless for me. And an exciting draw, I thought, last night. Obviously not for Melbourne fans, but yeah, some interesting results, and I think today's 4 games could throw up anything.
Oh, absolutely. I think the last 5 games of last weekend, the underdog won all of them. And then even this weekend, as you said, they're all upside down in terms of the underdogs winning. The case numbers in Melbourne today, so just repeating, 16 new cases, all linked. There is transmission at the rugby. There's over 200 exposure sites. So, of course, continue to check the Victorian government website or health website for more information there. But over 53,000 tests in Melbourne today. So that's the good news. Day 3 of what is at the moment scheduled as a 5-day lockdown. A positive start for us, Loz, on the footy front. Have you got a star performer?
I do. I mentioned the draw last night. Hawks and D's, Tom Mitchell leading from the front. I love the work of the key mids for Hawthorn, but 39 disposals, 1 goal, 1, and the biggest, my most favourite part of the stat line is the pressure axe. 40 pressure axe for Tom Mitchell last night and had some massive help. I'm just going to join some friends in with him here. O'Meara, 32 pressure axe, and Shields 32 as well. I really loved what the Hawks brought to the game last night.
I love that you've nominated Tom Mitchell. I did the game last night. Felt like he had some big moments late. Lids. I feel like Tom's always in the scope a little bit of yourself and Brendan Goddard for his empty calorie possessions, that sometimes he's got these big gaudy numbers and they don't quite amount to anything. I felt last night he was pretty pivotal for Hawthorn. I'm with Loz here.
Well, I watched most of the game and I actually thought he got plenty of it. There's no doubt. And he does that in his sleep. And I thought I would have gone to the stat sheet and seen huge numbers. Mm-hmm. Score involvement wise, you know I'm big on score involvements. And I look and I go down, I scroll down, I get, and he's got 3. Out of 39 disposals, he's got 3 score involvements.
Kicked a goal, though.
Kicked a goal and a point.
He's
so
not a
there's
big goal
2.
Kicker, only 4 times for the year. The 40 pressure acts, that's a big modern footy number, isn't it, Loz? And 40's a big number.
Well, we know how easily the Ds can score and how much they generate from that midfield group. So if he's applying 40 pressure acts through the middle of the ground alongside O'Meara and Shields, they're going a long way to winning. I agree with you, Lids. I love the score involvements. I think that's important. But Mitchell's played a serious role last night for the Hawks.
Got top votes in the ABC Footballer of the Year from
there
Nathan Burke last night as well. So
he looked at the top of the stat sheet. Burkey.
He got the 3 votes. I was big on Mitchell's game last night. I know you guys are hard on him, but he was very good.
Seriously, just look for more damage going forward in the front half. You know, still being able to find it 39 times, mate. It's more than I ever could. So that's hats off to him. He's doing very well.
Who's your star performer?
Mate, I've got to take this opportunity to pump up an ex-teammate of mine. A huge week for him. Played his 300th game on Friday night. Was supposed to be at the MCG. We're all supposed to be there to help him celebrate. Moved to Metricon.
Were you going to go?
Yeah, I was. Yep. I was actually going to be the homecoming hero, mate. So I was going to go back and kick a goal to the fans. And it's going to be a big night for me as well.
Jeez. You were disappointed that spotlight was taken away.
I was going to share the chair off with Jack. no, mate, but he's my star performer. 6 goals, 9 score involvements, 3 contested marks, 7 marks inside 50. And really, against a very good side in Brisbane to basically keep Richmond's season alive, he stood up when needed and played a very big game. But well done to my big mate, Wiggy Riewoldt. 300 games, mate, huge.
Can you explain to us why you call him Wiggy as well?
He used to sit at the back of the amphitheatre and like the big wig and just oversee and talk over most of the other boys when they didn't quite get the answers right, because he has one of the best footy brains that I've played with. So the big wig, it's where he was, up the back corner. He learned it off Richo, though. That's where he'd sit as well.
This may be relevant later, but he's one of 8 players to have currently in the game to have reached the 300-game milestone. So Jack Riewoldt, part of the 300 club. Now, this is Grandstand AFL Sunday, ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital. Some breaking news. Unfortunately, it's not good news for the Western Bulldogs. Scans have confirmed that the Western Bulldogs midfielder Toby McLean has ruptured his ACL in his right knee. The 25-year-old who just came back from an ACL injury in the same knee, playing 3 games at AFL level from round 14 to round 16. Injury occurred at a training session at Witten Oval on Saturday morning. He'll undergo surgery later this week before beginning his rehab. Second time around for Toby McLean, one of their premiership stars.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, especially when you're in a scrimmage match. You know, really trying to press your case to get back into that senior side. And you can probably see that they're doing really good things. So you feel for the kid. It's really disappointing. He's just got a long road ahead of him, unfortunately. It's 12 months on the sidelines.
Final teams for the game between Essendon and North Melbourne. So early start. The first game of footy starts in less than half an hour from now, and we'll bring it to you on ABC Radio, the Bombers and the Roos. Harry Jones is out of the team, so probably knew that. He was in a moon boot late in the week. He's been replaced by Braden Hamm in Essendon's starting lineup. The 2 subs, Martin Gleeson for the Bombers and Artu Bosanavolungi for North Melbourne, is going to be their medical sub. The COVID news to get us going, I won't get too bogged down in this, I promise, but it feels like we always say, you know, the season's on a hair trigger, as I touched on off the top, whenever there's a lockdown or something that the AFL has to work through to try and get teams, obviously, across borders. But it probably hit me for the first time yesterday where I really felt like, geez, this is as serious as it has been since probably the start of the pandemic, where the teams have done a great job to sort of quarantine their own teams as best they can. They've been able to get exemptions to move across borders on chartered flights. That when you start having 8 clubs impacted with either a player or an official that have been to an exposure site that are having various levels of quarantine measures as a result of, or isolation measures as a result of visiting these sites. So 8 teams in the competition either had somebody go to the rugby or one of the other exposure sites. Some of them are tier 1 close contacts, which means that they have to quarantine for the full 14 days. Some are tier 2, which means they were just there at a similar time. They need to go and get a test. And until they return a negative result, they're not able to be freed up. It impacted the game yesterday. between Hawthorn and Melbourne, where Connor Nash was a late out. And we asked James Warple about that post-game.
Oh, it was crazy. You know, obviously night games, you have your individual prep, and I was probably asleep during the day, and I woke up after my little nana nap and checked my phone, and they said Nashie was gone. So it was a bit interesting, a bit stiff, but, you know, you got to be careful. And Cuzzy came in and played a good role for us, and I thought he did pretty well tonight. I think he might need to return two negative tests, and I think he just couldn't get the one back in time to play tonight. So I'm not sure if he's stuck in quarantine for 14 days, but yeah, I'm not too sure. I haven't found out yet.
The eight clubs are Collingwood, Essendon, GWS, Sydney, North Melbourne, St Kilda, Hawthorn, and the Western Bulldogs. Loz, obviously the fixture for next weekend is just wide open at this stage, and it feels like this is a critical 48 hours for the AFL for their planning. Obviously, you know, it's a much broader issue, but we look at it very much from a footy context on this program.
Yeah, it feels like it'd be a huge challenge to be anything involved in that fixture making. I've read articles where those Victorian teams have come up quickly to Queensland, but then returning back to Melbourne just as quickly, which for my mind at the moment doesn't make a heap of sense. I'm not quite sure where on earth you can end up playing these games of footy next weekend if they occur. And from a player's perspective, you think about Lids, those guys who have to do 14 days quarantine, in terms of getting your training load in that time, you'd want to be getting a treadmill or a bike or both pretty quickly into that quarantine space, because maintaining your training load, and obviously this is on the scale of things COVID, it's at the bottom end of importance, but for an individual player to then return to play, their training load needs to remain high over that 2 weeks.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's going to be the key in terms of warding off soft tissue injuries. If you can't get out there and do like put the miles into the legs, I think that's going to be the biggest thing for, you know, someone like Connor Nash, who's been put into quarantine now. It's going to take him another 2 or 3 weeks just to build that back up. I know you don't lose it all over those 2 weeks, but you just can't be too careful, and it'd be a huge risk to roll him straight out and then straight into high-intensity training or a game.
You mentioned Richmond and the Western Bulldogs. Loz alluded to those two teams. So they both flew into southeast Queensland this week, played games. They're both back in Melbourne already. St Kilda have gone across to Perth. So they've started a week-long quarantine before playing the West Coast Eagles next week. Essendon are going to stay up in Queensland, given that the Giants and the Swans are now based there, and Essendon play the New South Wales teams in their next two games after meeting North Melbourne today. There's no word as to what it means for North Melbourne, but the latest reports coming out of the AFL is they're just keen to get these games away however possible. So some people have been calling for, you know, a cause to pause. Is it time to sort of, you know, maybe have a bye now and give the season some breathing space, have a week off and then come back and play again? The AFL are hoping to play the games wherever possible. So it felt like at the early part of the season, the priority was, and even a few weeks ago, we want to play them in front of fans. So can we get teams across borders? Can we move them to, you know, Sydney, for example, when, you know, things were open there, or Queensland or Perth, and like we did with the Dreamtime game? And the priority is, let's just put the games in front of spectators in whatever city we have to do it. Nowadays, it looks like, given how volatile the situation is and the amount of exposure sites, the games in Melbourne that are scheduled here are going to be played here. And if that's in front of no fans, then so be it. It gives the players a chance to sleep in their own bed. And let's just try and get as many of these regular season games out of the way as we can. And maybe it'll be a different story once we reach the finals.
I guess when you frame it like that, it kind of sounds like, I know last year everyone just jumped into a hub and mostly pretty much moved up to Queensland, but now it's almost like they can kind of hub from home and create some sort of a quarantine or isolated environment as they travel between games. Is that sort of where you see it as well, boys?
Yeah, it seems like that yeah, if they can get in and out on the same day, charter flights, obviously it's a much more difficult scenario for the teams out west, obviously, to do that, given the travel time involved. But it feels so delicate at the moment. And even if you look at the round 19 fixture, there's a bunch of games where, you know, there's border exemptions and a whole lot of things they have to work through. So we would be absolutely guessing if we're trying to piece that fixture together at this stage. And the same way that I know the grand final conversation always comes into it. Why don't we pick a venue for the grand final and move it to Adelaide Oval or Perth Stadium or whatever it is? It just feels so premature. I mean, you can go back to the Dreamtime game, for example, in Perth. It was a great event. Everybody was talking about they should play the grand final here. Melbourne came out of lockdown. A few weeks later, the Dockers are playing a home game at the MCG. There's no footy in Perth because they're in lockdown. So, it feels like they won't rush that decision, and they've probably got time on their, or they certainly have time on their side on that front. This is Grandstand AFL Sunday. The footy itself Max Gorn was with us on Grandstand AFL post-game. Max, match ended in a draw. How was that?
Yeah, that was a pretty grim feeling, I must say. Shared a word with Sammy Frost there at the end, and we both agreed that we can tick that off the bucket list for the most weirdest moment we've had in our careers, I think. Credit to Hawthorn, obviously. They'll pepper in us late, and I think we sort of stuffed it up. We had sort of 3 or 4 minutes there where we were controlling the play, and we missed our set shots, and we also may have turned the ball over in critical areas, and Bruce was good enough to get down the other end and score a goal.
What did you take out of last night, Lids? So Melbourne, another game against a bottom 10 team where they didn't get the full point. So they're 3 losses and a draw against bottom 10 oppositions. You can look at that the other way. They're perfect against their fellow top 8 teams.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I think sometimes when you're playing against those bottom ranked teams, and I even found this when I was up against, at the Giants when we were going pretty well, and even at the Tigers when we were going pretty well, you can be brought down a little bit. And I'm not saying that Hawthorn brought the whole game down, but they certainly see it as a free hit. And that's what I think Hawthorn did last night. They came out and they just applied a heap of pressure. And, you know, when all that pressure is on, you start to feel that as the higher-ranked team. And, oh, geez, I don't want to stuff this up because, you know, we shouldn't lose here. But, look, I don't think it's going to really hamper Melbourne's ability to go to great heights at the end of this year. But, you know, they're the games that you just want to see them just say, no, we're ruthless here. We're just going to get this game nutted as soon as we can. And, you know, just never take the foot off the throat. I think that's going to be the key for Melbourne going forward is can they just become a ruthless, competitive team, which we saw from, you know, Geelong at the time. St Kilda were probably in that, although they never won a flag. Hawthorn were definitely like that. You know, they're the sorts of things that you want to start to see from Melbourne.
And I think that's the ruthless element, Lids, that it seems they're lacking in those games is really important moving towards finals. I think any other team that's framing to play them in this final series is just looking at what Hawthorn did last night. Hawthorn didn't execute a pretty game plan. They were kicking off the ground in congested space because they knew Melbourne would get numbers to the contest, which ended up looking pretty ugly. But just the pressure, going back to what I said earlier in the show, the pressure they were able to apply, the best teams in the competition can apply that level of pressure throughout 4 quarters and still have the bigger bodies around the ground. Like, I love the list that Hawthorn will eventually build, and those skinny little, the tall, skinny bodies that seem to be everywhere on this Hawthorn list at the moment, able to compete and find a draw against those Melbourne bodies that have essentially been on top of the ladder for the majority of the season. I think it's a blueprint for teams framing to play Melbourne in the finals.
First time that these two teams have ever played a draw against one another. Of course, there was a time back in the mid-90s where we thought the two teams were going to merge. But the second draw of the season overall after the Giants and North played out a draw earlier in the year. Just on the Western Bulldogs yesterday, so Jamari Ugle-Hagan in his second game of AFL footy, 3 goals, 5 score involvements, 4 marks inside 50. Here's what his coach thought of Jamara's game.
I just think it's terrific for Mara. I mean, when you can imagine what he's been through from the start of last year through till now, all the publicity that's been on his doorstep, the interrupted preparation, and then still working really hard behind the scenes to get his first game. And then off the back of a really good experience for him, even though we dropped the game as a club last week, you know, just to go out and get a sense of what AFL footy's like, for him to come out and have, you know, just some critical moments. In the end, you know, his game was quite instrumental in us having a margin at the end.
For a game decided by 11 points in the finish, he kicks 3 and plays a role.
It's nice to see, isn't it? Because there's been so much pressure on this kid. Not from himself, but the other people saying, "Why isn't he playing? We mustn't be good enough." And there's no doubt he's good enough. There's a reason why the Bulldogs got him at pick one, because the kid's a star. But just now he's found his feet, and I think it's perfect. It's great. It's made him hungry. Now he knows what it's taking. He's still learning. There's no doubt. You can see, even watching his game, that he's still got plenty of room for work rate, intensity around the footy, and the two-way running that's required as a forward these days. But to kick 3 and just to see him take like a big mark, snap that goal, that's real confidence building stuff. That he's like, yeah, you know what, I can do it against these blokes. And I know I've only played school footy in under 18s before this, and now I'm playing against men and the best men in the competition. I can do this, you know. So he should take a heap out of it, and I look forward to watching his career from the sidelines, because I think we're going to see some special things.
I really enjoyed the humility he showed in the TV broadcast post-match. He did an interview and he referenced without much prompting how in awe he still is of being around his teammates and the opponents within the AFL system, which is pretty cool. Like, he's at the back end of his first year and played a really important role for the Doggies yesterday. But to hear a young guy who would have had all that media attention and praise heaped on him for a period of time now, to still approach that with humility and understand he's probably still got a fair way to go, I think is really cool.
Another big key forward loss yesterday, Charlie Dixon, ended up kicking the winner. It was a quiet night for him, but had an interesting chat with Ken Hinckley, his coach, at three-quarter time. Ken had the mask on, but was quite pointed speaking to his big key forward. This is how Ken described the conversation post-game.
I actually said to him, I said, if you could pick up the ball late in the quarter and duck around Doug and kick us a goal, that'd be really good. Charlie and I have a great relationship and have had for, I don't know what it must be now, 12 years, 13 years maybe. He knows when I'm talking to him that I'm asking him for some difference in his game. He's pretty honest with me, and he accepts when I'm talking, it's coming from a place of care and a place that we need to him to do some different things. And he always embraces that. In fact, I think he probably needs that more often than not from me, because he probably trusts me, I think.
They had to win Port yesterday. Obviously, there's no Butters, Gray, Rosie, Fantasia, Motlop, Dersma. So they're missing similar kind of players without their small forwards. But it puts them a game clear now of the Brisbane Lions inside the top four. So a big victory for Port to jump, leapfrog Brisbane in that position.
I know I referenced my tipping earlier, but between Port and the Saints, of course I got that tip wrong. Like, Port lose last week, Saints beat the Lions in startling fashion, and then, of course, Port beat the Saints in Melbourne. It's outrageous, but Charlie Dixon was so interesting yesterday. He seemed to be hurt on... he has one knee taped and seemed to hurt the other knee, but played out the four quarters, and then, of course, kicks that important goal late. It's you just cannot pick Port Adelaide, but they have put themselves in a position now where they can still potentially finish top four.
Just off the SMS too, Stuart from Ormond says, Jamara is very like Nicky Winmar, strong mark, great kick and courageous. I know he's copped a lot of Buddy Franklin comparisons, of course, as the big left footer who can play as a key position player. And just to clarify from Pete in Eaglemont, who was talking about Tom Mitchell's role, and basically said that, he's, to paraphrase his text message, that, it's not about score involvements, it's that he sets up other players to score. The score involvement stat, actually, just to clarify there, involves the entire chain. So if you start a chain and there's eight possessions and it eventually results in somebody kicking a goal, that's a score involvement for you. So you are credited with that stat. Just before we go, Lids, and we're fast running out of time before the Essendon North game, which is fast upon us, Dustin Martin out for the season. Yep. So he's only missed 9 games out of 269. This is just looked like a serious injury when it happened.
Yep.
Such a tough guy on his haunches, a kidney injury, and he's in hospital in Brisbane on the Gold Coast for the next few days.
Yeah, I think you could tell when he couldn't take more than 10 to 12 steps and he'd have to keel over and take in a deep breath. And he knew something was up. I initially just thought it must be ribs and he's done something to his lung or something like that. But to find out, that it is kidney. I've never done anything like that, but I've spoken to Dad who has. And he said, when you're urinating blood, it can be quite painful. One, that instance, but also the kidney injury in itself. So I've spoken to him. He's in pretty good spirits, but he's a man of few words. Dusty said, I'll be right. And he'll be back. And unfortunately, we're going to miss him for the rest of the year, which is disappointing because, you always love seeing the best players play, but this year has shown us more than any that the best players aren't playing, are they? So it's disappointing.
What are you looking for today, Loz? Quickly, what stands out?
Oh, I just honestly think every single one of these four games could go either way. I know you don't want to hear it, Corby, but North could beat Essendon today.
I think they can.
Jeez, it's coming up straight now. So it's the Roos and the Bombers from up on the Gold Coast. The first of four games for our audience throughout Victoria. You'll get Carlton and Collingwood for everyone in SA and WA. It's the Crows and the Eagles. And then later today, the Battle of the Bridge from up at Carrara, the Giants and the Swans. Short and sharp today on Grandstand AFL Sunday. Enjoy the footy across the day, wherever you may be.